He's worthy. I said he's worthy tonight. Hallelujah. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. In that song, I found in Jesus all that I need. Hallelujah. I found in him all that I could ever want. And everything that I could possibly hope for, I found in Jesus. Glory be to the name of the Lord. I'm not going to be real long tonight. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the first book of Genesis. Genesis, the first chapter. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 4. When you have it, say amen. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. I want everybody to say, the Spirit of God moved. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. Everyone say in Jesus' name, you may be seated tonight. In this particular passage, we find that the earth was without form. It was void. The earth was without form, and it was void. And the earth was in darkness at this time. And in the darkness of this earth, it had no life. And without life, there's no hope. Without life, there is no hope. There's nothing to hope for. And I find in the third verse, when God first spoke, he first spoke here. He said, let there be light. And I want to use that for a moment. He said, let there be light. In John 1 and 1, it said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Here it validates what God had said. There was nothing in the world today that this particular time. This was before he began to form anything. He said, now before anything could be formed, I've got to do something spectacular before I could put life into this world. He said, I've got to put forth light. And tonight I'm going to speak to you tonight for those that do not understand Pentecost, for those that do not understand anything about salvation. I'm also going to speak to you tonight to those that have been in church for the longest time, for those that maybe you can encourage someone that has no understanding and no knowledge of what is going on. In this particular passage, we find that God's Spirit moved. And God, when God's Spirit moved, things began to take place. Things began to transpire. When we find in the book of Acts that the Spirit of God moved, we find the birth of a church. And in the birth of a church, we find that life began. Life cannot begin without God's Spirit. It cannot begin without the light. It will not take place without God's light. John 8:32 says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Here we find that you cannot separate light from the truth. Without truth, there is no light. And without light, there is no truth. And because God spoke, he spoke the truth. And when preachers get up here tonight, they got to speak truth. And when they begin to speak truth, they will speak to you light. And when light is shined down upon you, you will see where you're at with God. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to show you where you are. It doesn't take a man to show you where you are. But I tell you that God uses a vessel to show you where you are. He takes the vessel to show you where you're at by the spoken word and by the light that's being spoke. Somebody give him a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And once God speaks, Hallelujah, nothing could take it back. It's like spilled milk, if you will. You can't take it back. It's like water under the bridge. You can't take it back. Once it goes forth, it goes forth. And what I'm about to preach tonight is God's spoken word. Once you receive it tonight, it can't be taken back. Hallelujah. If you want the Holy Ghost tonight, you're more than welcome to get it. If you need something from God, you're more than welcome to receive it. All you've got to do is believe. It doesn't take coming up here and praying 2 hours to receive the Holy Ghost. When I first went to the altar, I was 9 years of age. I said, I'm going to get the Holy Ghost. And it didn't take but 10 minutes. And I began to speak in another tongue. As the Spirit of God moved upon me, I began to speak with nothing and no one trying to tell me how to do it. All I did was believe, because I remembered the promise that was given. It's unto you and your children. And I was a child. And I said, I'm going to get this in the name of Jesus. If you want it, you can have it. You don't have to pray 2 hours. Give God a hand clap of praise. Blessed be His holy name. Oh, without the word of God, we are doomed. Within the darkness, we are doomed. Oh, but when the light comes forth, darkness will not be able to stick around. All you got to do is turn the light on. And when the light is on, darkness dissipates. When the light is on, it disappears. The darkness is represented by satanic powers. Oh, but the light is represented by the truth. If you want truth, all you got to do is come up here and receive the truth. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Give Him a hand clap of praise. Oh, Jesus. Without His word, we are doomed. We're doomed to die in darkness. And if we die in darkness, darkness is where we'll go. But I'm here to tell you that you don't have to die in darkness. Some of you may not receive what I'm saying tonight, but I'm here to tell you that you can receive the light. When the Spirit of God moves, you can receive the light. And for those of you, I challenge you tonight that's got the Holy Ghost. God gave you something. He moved in you. He gave you the light. He gave you the truth to give to those that do not have the truth. And to those that do not have the light, he wants you to be of encouragement to those that are around here in Crawfordsville, Indiana, in Montgomery County, Indiana, in the state of Indiana. The light will come forth. The devil can't stop it. It shall come forth. Give him a hand clap of praise. Glory. Oh, Lord. I heard Brother Jason Clark talking about those people that were wearing these earrings all in their bodies, looking God ugly, if you will, and those with purple and orange hair. I'm not interested in purple and orange hair. Talking about those things that look weird. They are without form. They are void. I'm going to tell you something, people. And people of God, if you've got to go out and reach someone that's on alcohol because they are without form, they are void, they're trying to make themselves formed, they're trying to fill the void, that person with a homosexuality, the prostitute, the drug addict. Hey, I'm telling you tonight, church, we've got to reach them. And if you're here tonight, the Lord will reach you. God ain't here to condemn anyone right now. But I'm telling you, sin will send you into a place of darkness. It will send you to a place you don't want to go. Sin will take you farther than you want to go. Sin is a price that nobody wants to pay. I'm here to tell you, Almighty God, He will give you the light. All you got to do is ask for it. Give Him praise. Hallelujah, Jesus. He wants us to move. He wants us to reach those people that are without form and that are void. Those that are in the darkness because they cannot see the light. Somebody has to be willing to give them the light. Somebody has to be willing to reach them. Somebody has to be willing to go out into the highways and the byways. And for you, those of you that have been filled with the Holy Ghost, I dare you to use what you have inside of you in the name of Jesus Christ. I challenge you to use the authority that's within you. It ain't within you. It ain't yourself. But it's with what's within you. It's called the Holy Ghost. And everyone here can have it. Acts 2:38 message. You've heard it preached time and time again. But that is what leads you to the light. It's up to you to find it. It's up to you to look for it. Come on and give Him praise. Hallelujah. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Don't stop now. Let's stand. Let's praise Him. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He was just talking about the Spirit of God moving upon things. That word in the Hebrew is manifest. I would to God that somebody tonight would let His Spirit manifest itself into you. Manifest itself into your way. You are dark. You are void and without form. But when the Spirit of God takes a hold of your life, something has changed. You're a new creature. Hallelujah. That's why this isn't a dead religion. That's why this is a live religion. It's because something has manifested the people in the church. Not the people has manifested the building, but something in the building has manifested them. Woo! Hallelujah. You may be seated. Man, I feel just a direction going everywhere. I want to drop something in on you. There was a man that went to a place and built an altar and called it Bethel. Bethel means the house of God. But he had to return to that place. And when he returned to that place and he walked off, notice the Bible called it El Bethel. It meant the God of the house. You've come into the house of God. But if you go out into that world without the God of the house, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. I'm feeling after the Holy Ghost right now. It's not enough that we come into this place and call ourselves Christians, but it's more than enough when we come into this place and we show ourselves Christians. Woo! Mark 16 says, "And these signs shall follow them that believe." And one person said, "Well, you're a sign follower. You're a sign person." And Jesus said that it's a wicked and perverse generation that seeks after signs. I want to let you know tonight, we are not people that follow after signs. We are people that the signs follow after. The Scripture says that these signs shall follow them that believe. And it says that if you believe and are baptized, you shall be saved. Draw a line in our lives. I want to know what kind of signs is following your life. I want to know what kind of direction. Woo! What kind of signs are following your life? Lady asked this person, said, "I was raised on an apostolic pew. I've seen the dead raised. I've seen the sick healed. I've seen demons cast out. And you say that your sect of believers is different from mine." Brother, I want to know what kind of signs are following your people. I'm getting somewhere now. The sign that cannot follow us is coming and sitting on a chair and calling ourselves what we want to be. You cannot be a wannabe Christian and make the rapture. You've got to be a Christian to make the rapture. And it's more than just going out. My God, if you don't want to look like the world, if you don't want to live like the world, if you don't want to be identified with the world, get in the church. Hallelujah. There's too many religions and not enough church in this world. There's too many wannabes and not enough really are in this world. When you get into this church, you will not leave looking like you came. As the song says, I went to camp meeting with some friends one day. They were having revival in the old-fashioned way. It was there at the altar that my life was changed. And I did not leave like I came. If you leave this place tonight like you walked in, my friend, you're in trouble. I ain't got much time, but you're in trouble. You can walk into this place sick, and you can leave this place healed. You can walk in under this place in bondage, and you can leave this place free. If God will manifest itself in you. Woo! My goodness gracious. Now I can read my scripture. My scripture comes out of the book of Joshua. It says, so the people shouted when the priest blew the trumpet. And it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet and the people shouted with a great shout. We don't need no weenie shouters around this place tonight because you don't serve a weenie God. Huh? He preached on limp-wristed preachers. Well, I want to preach on weenie shouters. Sissy shouters. Bless God, you've been so great to me. I just want to thank you. No! It takes people 2 hours to pray through the Holy Ghost, but it only takes them 1 second to draw down on a cigarette. It takes them all week to pray through to the Holy Ghost, but it only takes 1 second for that devil to have its way in their life. It's because your shout is weak. It's because your shout is weak. It's because God has not brought you out of something. As a man said, he went to a hotel, Brother Mark Morgan said. And he went to check in, and the lady there got was on the phone, and she was just a cussing and a swearing and all this, that, and other, and hung up the phone and looked at him, and she said, may I help you? He said, I want to check in. She threw the card, said, sign it. He signed occupation preacher. She looked at him, and oh, my. Well, bless God, I'm saved, too. He said, saved from what? Hey, if you're doing what you did before you came to this altar, you're not saved. If you're living like hell on Monday, it's because you were not saved on Sunday. These people just came out of Egypt, and they had a great shout. These people just came out of bondage, and they had a great shout. I would to God someone would shout like they just came out of Egypt. Hallelujah. We may have to live in Egypt, but we don't have to act like Egyptians. It was a great shout that brought down the walls. It was a great shout. Get that trumpet. It was a great shout. You see, I know what it's like. I know what it's like because I've been in bondage. I've been in the dope rings. I've been in the stealing rings. I've been in the gang-type rings. I've been in the heavy metal rings. I've been in the little clique that went to the cemeteries and had seances. I've been in all of that. But when God filled me with the Holy Ghost, when I think of Jesus and all that He's done unto me, my soul cries hallelujah. Something inside of me has got to move a little bit. Something inside of me is happy. I've got a great shout. We need to be going crazy now. if you've been delivered. There's people living around the boundaries of this tent, and they're as lost as a goose in a snowstorm. But they're on the edges of a people that should be saved, and they ought to hear some kind of signal coming from a people that came out. When the priest blows the trumpet, the people will give a great shout, and the walls will come down. I don't care what you're in bondage of. There's a preacher sounding off tonight. You can be delivered. I don't care what's in your past. There's a preacher sounding off tonight. There's some blood that can clean that. I've got a preacher that's sounding off in his word that says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There was a harlot. There was a harlot that dwelt upon them walls. There was a whore that dwelt upon them walls. There was a woman of ill repute. There was a prostitute that dwelt upon them walls. But because she had a scarlet thread hanging out of her window as a sign of a covenant made by the people of Israel with her, because she showed them some favor, when the walls came down, she was spared and saved. But this harlot, you will find mentioned again, and not in the book of Joshua. You will find her mentioned again in the book of Matthew, chapter 1 and verse 5. It said, and Boaz begot Rechab, which pronounced in its original form is Rahab. This woman that was such a sorry, no good, worldly, used up thing was David's grandmother. It was the grandmother of David. It was the lineage found where she was in Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is calling unto the lineage in this place, and he's wanting somebody to join him. But you need a scarlet thread hanging out your window. You need some victory inside of your soul. You need something dwelling inside of you that shows. For he looked beyond my faults and he saw my need. A loser without direction is what I was going to be and what I was. But he saw not what I was. He saw what I could be. I've got to close quick. Here's Brother Eddie. A loser without direction, I drifted aimlessly to a place on the backside of nowhere, forgotten by humanity. When they talked about potential, they did not refer to me, 'cause everyone could clearly see what I was, I'd always be. But he saw not what I was, he saw what I could be. I want to know, somebody tonight's dwelling upon the walls. Somebody tonight thinks that they're no good. Somebody tonight may have stumbled and the devil has turned your great shout into a whinny shout. But I'm here to tell you, a great shout takes force. A great shout takes effort. And it's time for the church of the living God to not be whinnies in their worship. It's time for the church of the living God to call upon this city and say, I'm taking you back. Come on, church. Come on. Aren't you excited? Don't be a worshiping weenie, but be a great worshiper, because God has brought you out.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Land is flesh. Somebody needs to let the Lord be praised in the house tonight. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Worthy is the Lord God Almighty. Worthy to receive glory and honor and power and blessing. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasures they were and are created. Oh, thou art worthy, O Lord. Clap your hands unto the Lord. Shout to God with a voice of triumph. Let praises ring from within your lips. Let your heart be set upon him. Let your face be set toward Zion. Hallelujah. Somebody lift him up tonight. Glory. We've come to lift him up tonight. We've come to magnify his holy name. Hallelujah. We've come to leave changed. Anytime I go to a restaurant, I want to leave filled. Hallelujah. In the book of Acts chapter 3 and verse 19, it reads like this: Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord. Personal revival starts with the letter F. Personal revival starts with the letter F. You may be seated. You all waiting for me to pray over my text? We've already got Holy Ghost here. We just need open hearts and open minds. Hallelujah. You have to forgive me. It's been a while since I've done this. We're here tonight because we're looking for something that we can be blessed with. We're looking for something that we can be blessed by. Our hearts melt with the songs that were sung, and our spirits are moved when the word comes to us. Then the final prayer and amen comes, and we are thrust back into the reality of our world. We wake in the morning and look in the mirror only to see not the victory smile we had from the service before, but the regret and disappointment and failures that come exploding out to us in that mirror. They tell us that the experience of the night before was not real, that it did not take, that it was not good enough, that it will never help. The devil would like to keep you in defeat tonight. He'd like to keep you in defeat tomorrow. For the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. But God would like to set you free. God would like to heal your broken heart. God would like to set you at liberty in your spirit. God would like to give you confidence that when you wake up in the morning, you can say, I'm a child of the King. I belong to Jesus. Hallelujah. Somebody clap your hands in the spirit. He'd love to give you rest in your spirit. For Jesus said, the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. I hear a lot of people tell me that you preach a gospel that sends people to hell. I come to tell them, I preach a gospel that saves a soul from hell. Because God doesn't want to destroy you. He wants to save you. But the same thing that can save you will destroy you if you don't obey. I want to talk about six men and two different endings for a minute. There was Peter. There was Moses. There was Samson. There was Cain. There was Judas Iscariot. And there was Saul, King Saul. Cain was standing there before his altar that he had built. He was standing there with a sacrifice of his first fruits. He had it there on the altar, and Abel was beside him there. And Abel had his sacrifice offering accepted by God. And it was consumed with fire. Fire proves that it cleanses, that it takes everything that offering meant and purifies it. Hallelujah. I want the fire of God to take this old flesh
on this altar and purify it and accept it as a sacrifice. Cain was there. God didn't accept his sacrifice. God said to Cain, says, go and get the right sacrifice. You know what that story tells me? That God is a God of second chances. That when you don't do it right according to His Word, that He will make a way when there seems to be no way. He will provide a door that you can go through when you've been busting your head against the wall, thinking you're going through the door. He will give you a second chance. He will give you a second chance. But Cain stood there at that altar, and bitterness rose up in him like a flood. And righteous indignation came in, or unrighteous indignation, I don't care. Hatred, jealousy, envy, strife. The works of the flesh are these. And they rose up in Cain. And Cain began to look at Abel and began to hate and began to not accept God's second chance. Saul of Tarsus, or Saul, King Saul, was there. He had destroyed the armies of Achan, the Amalekites. Amalek was the king. Amalek was there in the background. There was bleeding of sheep and the mooing of goats, or cow, whatever. Well, you can interpret whatever noise it sounded. In English, it's moo. He was there presenting himself to Samuel. Says, Samuel, I've done all that the Lord requires. Samuel says, well, what is this that I hear? You're keeping some spoils for yourself. Let me tell you something, folks. There are things in this world that are not wrong. There are things in this world that are not sinful. But God wants all the spoils. I have a friend, I don't know where I'm going on this one, but I have a friend that golfs. And I like golfing too. I think it's a God sport, you know, godly sport, you know. There's only one hole and only one ball. Hallelujah. I become a Trinitarian every time I swing the ball, though. Many, 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 many strokes. Hallelujah. Praise God. But he began to enjoy golf, as anyone who is intelligent can. God began to deal with him because it was becoming his God. Golf isn't a sin. But God wanted to spoil it. He gave that game to golf to God. It was about 3 or 4 years later that God allowed him to play golf again. He told me he noticed that it was a different attitude that he had. He didn't have to be out there shooting that ball around. He didn't have to. It wasn't like addiction, you know. God wants to spoil it.